You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews of JaysFromTheCouch.com, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time. It's late. I'm tired. But we have part two of the Division Day recording I did yesterday with Stacey Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees, so enjoy.
Kluber tonight. Mm-hmm. Stanton is making his spring debut. Brett Gardner is making his spring debut. But with Kluber, I don't care if he gets bombed tonight. I don't care if he gives up seven home runs in an inning, as long as his arm is still on. Because I'm one of those people that I don't care what happens in spring training. I just want these guys to make it out of spring training with all their limbs intact.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about seven home runs. I mean, Teoscar is making his spring debut tonight. Rowdy Tellez is in the lineup, and new star slugger Logan Warmoth is in there. So, you know, there are a couple threats, but I don't think seven home runs is in the cards. But yeah, that's essentially what I'm looking for as well. Just making sure, like seeing a guy like Tim Mayza hit the mound yesterday and be like, Tim, just don't let your elbow fall apart again. Cause like I was at the game where Mayza tore his UCL.
Ooh.
And you could like see it like hanging there as he collapsed. I'm like, oh my God, just please let that arm be solid again.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I'm hoping. I just don't want any noodle arms to appear.
Well, what's amazing to me is when you look at a slow-mo shot or a frozen shot of a guy in the midst of a pitch and seeing what his elbow actually does, it's so unnatural for these guys to be throwing balls like that.
Oh my God.
It looks like every elbow in baseball is going to snap at some point, yeah. Especially when you see a picture like that. It's horrifying to even think about it. And, you know, Masahiro Tanaka, the Yankees let him go. He's in Japan where he can now throw a forkball. So I'm sure he's very happy about that. But, you know, he pitched the entire time where we were terrified that he was going to snap that UCL. The entire time from the first season that he pitched until the playoffs this year, all of us in the back of our minds are like, don't snap. Oh my God. Like anytime he did anything with his arm, that was in the back of our minds. And, you know, Jameson Taillon, he's had multiple surgeries and it's just scary to think about that sort of thing happening again. Hopefully it won't. Hold on. But, you know, I mean, these guys are putting themselves at risk all the time, but when you're coming back from surgery, it's even scarier.
And like that was the entire thing with Nate Pearson last year. We're just watching him and like, don't throw your shoulder out, Nate. Please don't do anything. And then as the year went on, it's like, please just get through this inning, Nate. Please don't walk a guy. So it says something about how quickly those wants and desires can change. But yeah, I think for both our teams, it's just going to be a matter of who gets the most out of their starting pitching and who can stay healthy. Because if we end up having to throw Tommy Malone out there, I mean, we can just wave the white flag right now because we are not getting into the playoffs if Tommy Malone is a part of our starting rotation.
Now, for the Yankees, you know, they have guys like Clark Schmidt, although he's hurt right now. Something's wrong with his forearm, which is, you know, precursor to what we were just talking about. You know, Davey Garcia is in the wings, although they might use him as a fifth starter. Unfortunately, and I'm not happy about this, Domingo Germán is back, so he's another arm. Michael
Garbage
King.
Person, Domingo Germán.
Yeah. Oh, I went off the other day on my show about it, and I had someone leave a comment on Instagram, and she basically said, I agreed with everything you said about Domingo Germán. So I was like, oh, okay, good. At least I wasn't yelled at. So.
Oh, my God. I got so much just being like, and now we talk about garbage person Roberto Osuna. And like, well, nothing's been true. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. You put yourself in that position. Like, guess what? I'm going to believe the woman in that scenario. So right. You're a garbage person, Roberto Osuna, from now until the day you die.
Exactly. And we have two of them on my team, which is just...
I know.
It's so funny because, you know, Aroldis Chapman has given up big home runs in the last 2 years in the playoffs. And part of me is like annoyed because obviously I'm a Yankee fan. The other part of me is like, ha ha, because he's just a garbage person. It's so difficult to have people like that on your team because it's just, ugh.
That's why the whole time, as much as I really want another starting pitcher in Toronto, I'm like, please don't sign Trevor Bauer. Ugh. Please, for the love of God, don't sign Trevor Bauer.
Right. Yeah. Because there were a number of Yankee fans who were clamoring for them to sign him. And I just was like, nope, don't want it. And I even spoke about that too. And I was so glad that, I mean, especially given what the Dodgers gave him, I'm sorry. Okay. I know he had a good year last year, but it was 60 games. It wasn't the same amount of starts, obviously, as normal. He's really only had like two good years in his career. At 40 million? Really? For Trevor Bauer?
I am, again, so glad that neither of our teams, I'll say I'm glad that both our teams did not feel the need to pay that level of stupid money.
Right.
For a guy who you don't know if he will be able to avoid playing with a robot and missing multiple starts.
Oh, I mean, come on. The drone jokes just speak for themselves. That was one of the dumbest things.
And they go right over his head.
Ha!
Boom.
That's funny.
And just going to take a quick break to tell you that this episode has been brought to you by rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. You can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, from everything from brake parts to tail lamps and motor oil and whatever you need for your car. I don't know. You get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered right to your door. The catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. You see all the parts available at the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Whether you're a professional or do-it-yourselfer, you're going to get that reliably low price. So go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know you came from us and everyone gets to be happy. So amazing a selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. I will say though, there's still one free agent starter out there, and I'm not sure why either of our teams haven't really made a run for Jake Odorizzi yet. I mean, I know he had his own problems in 2020, but as a veteran arm there, like, I'm more surprised the Yankees haven't signed him than the Blue Jays.
Surprised about that too.
Yeah. So like, what's the deal? Are the Yankees gonna get like Odorizzi just because no one else is, or like, do you think they're gonna wait until like summer and be like, oh, let's just go get Herman Marquez or something?
I don't know what the hell they're going to do because, you know, Brian Cashman was making it seem as though, you know, they're all set with what they're doing and they'll look at the trade deadline, see what they can do around that time. I know that, not that he's a pitcher, but Cespedes was working out and the Yankees were there. And I'm like, why?
Don't you already have like 90 H's?
We have 90 H's and 15 outfielders. Although given the injury history, I could see why they'd want some insurance there, but, yeah, the Odorizzi thing is interesting to me. The Jackie Bradley Jr. thing is interesting to me because he's still out there. You know, speaking of the Red Sox, I was on a podcast unknowingly. I didn't realize I was going to be attacked by two Red Sox fans. I didn't realize it.
Oh, no.
You know, ganged up on.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were lamenting the Mookie Betts trade, and it's just, I laugh every time I think about that because just, I mean, he's one of those once or twice in a generation players. And I kind of understand why Chaim Bloom did it, but like,
oh my God,
I don't know. Like, what are you thinking?
I don't know. And it's so weird going from like, oh, there are four really competitive teams in this division, and then there's the Orioles. And then going from that to like, well, it's a two-horse race and the Blue Jays are actually in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like again, as someone who grew up in the 2000s watching this team, it was always like, well, the Blue Jays can probably get third again. But yeah, it's just so weird seeing Boston in that position. And like, I've talked with Gab a few times, and just like, how are you satisfied with this? Like, how can you keep supporting this team? It's like Bomani Jones said, it's like, how are you going to let this team keep doing this to you? What happiness are you getting out of this?
Right. Cause they're another team that shouldn't be cheap.
No.
It's ridiculous. You're Boston, for the love of God. Like, what is the matter with you? And then don't even get me started about Baltimore, because they're just, it's, I can't even imagine being a Baltimore fan. And I do know a few of them. I just would be so frustrated. I mean, when I was a kid, the Yankees were constantly spending money and not winning. Now, if the wild card were in existence in the 80s, there were probably one or two times that they would have made the playoffs. There were a couple of years they had over 90 wins and they just didn't have enough wins to win the division. So it wasn't like the Yankees were horrible. That didn't happen until the early 90s. And when the actual rebuild happened, because on that podcast the other night, the Red Sox fans were talking about the Yankees rebuild in the middle of this decade. And I said, rebuild? I said, they weren't even under 500 at any point. They weren't anywhere near under 500 at any point. A rebuild is what happened in the early 90s when you were all fetuses or not even a blink in your parents' eyes. I just find it amusing to me that people consider what the Yankees did during this decade of rebuilds. Like, no, that's not what happened. Not at all. It's not the same thing. What I'm going to say is, even though you're a rival, I would like for you and other Blue Jays fans who weren't around for 93 and 92. I remember both years. 93, I was at a pool hall when Joe Carter hit his home run. None of my friends were into sports. I was. And I was like, holy crap. And they're like, what just happened? I said, he just won the World Series on a home run. And they're like, oh, okay. No, not having any idea what I was talking about. I would like for you, I said this to Ethan of Locked On Pirates, I would like for your fan bases to feel how I felt in 1996, because I was too young to remember 77 and 78. I was 3 and 4. I do remember them losing to the Dodgers. I was 7. I cried myself to sleep that night because I listened to it on the radio. So that was my first playoff experience. The feeling you get when you watch your team win the World Series for the first time as a cognizant adult is the best feeling in the world. And I want other people who haven't been able to feel that yet to feel it. I really do. Honestly, it's just, it's incredible. I was hugging strangers. I had a guy twirling me around a bar. I mean, it was like, it was insane. And that's the kind of thing that you love about sports, because it brings people so much joy when that sort of thing happens. Like when you see a video of like a team is playing outside of its home city and they win a championship, and you have all these people gathered in a square somewhere watching on a big screen, and when the team wins you see the sea of people erupt. And I want that for you guys. I really do. Maybe not this year, but at some point in the near future I would like for Toronto and you guys to experience that again, because it's just, there's really nothing like it. It's really that first championship that you're aware of, is you just can't believe it happened. And, you know, I like can still remember what I did when Charlie Hayes caught that pop up. I literally jumped up out of my seat, and then Sky caught me, spun me around, and then I drank myself into oblivion. It was turn the clock back night. So we had an extra hour of drinking in Oswego, and it was really great.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think the most comparable thing I can think of for Canadians, at least, was...
Oh, the Raptors?
Well, no, not even the Raptors. Like, I mean, for me, that was great. Like, I mean, beating Golden State is fun, but, you know, them not having Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant kind of took some of the fun out of it, because then it's like, all right, we can beat just Steph Curry.
Right.
But I was thinking more the 2010 gold medal game in Vancouver.
Oh, right.
That's my big memory, because like I was watching that with like a bunch of people from a university, and it was like all of us and then one American in the room, and everyone erupts, and the one American just sitting back there, and like you could not take a step down the streets of Halifax without hearing a horn go off or seeing someone wave a flag, or just like just the sheer amount of shared joy in that. And yeah, the Raptors were able to have that in 2019, and that parade was a bit mucked up, but you could see how desperately Toronto wanted that celebration. And like TFC is not at that point. They're not going to get that kind of reaction, even though they are a high quality soccer team that deserves the full attention of the city. But seeing the Raptors actually deliver that championship, first in the Big Four since 93, it reminds you of what sports does have the ability to do, and that is pull just a complete diaspora of people together in shared joy. And you know, if sports could continuously do that, like that's the value of keeping them, you know, going even through the darkest of times, just to have that collective joy spreading through civilization.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm getting all freaking English degree on that.
But no, but it's true. I agree with that. And I really hope it's a full season. I hope that everyone stays safe. I hope that people stay safe enough to where it gets to the point where we can actually be at games later in the season. I'm still not ready to do that yet. I want everyone vaccinated before that happens.
One more break so we can tell you that this episode is brought to you by betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, whether you want to bet on college basketball tournaments, you want to bet on the NBA All-Star game, weird, but okay. If you want to bet on the Oscars or reality TV, anything you can imagine, you'll find the odds on betonline.ag, as well as all the news, scores, and odds you need. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. And if you do sign up today and make your first deposit with the promo code Locked On, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
But let's quickly... Well, see, I don't even want to do this because I can't predict what's going to happen. We both know that our teams are probably going to be fighting it out for the division. We know that because the other three, unless something catastrophic happens to both teams.
Yeah.
The other three are not going to really be a problem.
Unless the ghost of Carl Yastrzemski, or is Carl Yastrzemski dead? I probably shouldn't say ghost if I don't know if he's dead or not.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go Ted Williams. I know he's dead.
Yes.
But yeah, unless the ghost of Ted Williams like possesses Alex Verdugo or something, which I mean, God, Ted Williams, pick a better person. But like, unless there are some breakouts that we don't see happening, unless Felix Hernandez finds like 2010 King Felix form, like there's not going to be a lot for the other teams to really make that jump. And like I said, it's going to be the Blue Jays and Yankees slugging it out,
right,
for the season. Cause I mean, again, that starting rotation is still shaky on both sides. So it's probably going to be another slugfest, like those 20-6 games. Only now you don't have the benefit of Derek Fisher playing balls with his head in the outfield. So, so hopefully it'll be a little more even.
Right.
But yeah, it's weird. And like, you know, obviously, you know, on other sides of this rivalry, and I use rivalry in quotes because New York's always been focused on Boston, never been focused on Toronto. But as we go with this rivalry really being for the marbles in 2021, like you, I just hope the season is a success, that we don't have the same kind of, you know, outbreaks and stuff. And I hope they can actually play in Toronto at some point, because as pretty as that stadium in Dunedin looks, and as much of a charming flashback as it was to see that highway on ramp in the backdrop of every game at Salem Field, they need to be back in Toronto
right
at some point. So in that crumbling facade of 80s architecture that we still have standing in downtown Toronto, they need to play at some point there.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I had fun. I was actually glad when they did this, when they said, oh, we're going to do Division Day. And I'm like, oh, okay. That gives us shows and things to do and, you know, gives us more content because, you know, as much as there is going on during spring, it is still kind of hard to really talk about what's going on in spring and have it be an actual long show. So I was thankful for this.
I can only pump Logan Warmoth's tires so much. And that will wrap it up. So thank you again to Stacey Gotzulius for joining me. You can find her on Twitter at StaceGots. You can follow her podcast at Locked On Yankees. You can follow my podcast at Locked On Jays on Twitter and Facebook. The episode links are all on the Twitter feed. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find both of our podcasts. So make sure you do not miss an episode by clicking that subscribe button. We really appreciate it here. And you can follow me on the Twitters at @A_J_Andrews. The underscores are there because Twitter is dumb, but it's the only way I get Blue Jay stuff, because who the heck wanted to have radio of Blue Jays games when you could have nothing instead? You know, good planning. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with what should be the first installment of the season of a favorite here at the podcast. Fan Friday should be coming back as long as I'm awake enough for it. And now that you're at the end of this episode, check out Locked On Today. They talked about Ben Roethlisberger re-signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though he is a garbage person. Sorry, call him as I see him. And you can check out Locked On MLB with Sully to get the unique look at the majors, both present and past. Check them both out. And until next time, for everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network and everyone at jaysfromthecouch.com, I'm AJ Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And y'all take care.